Again on a Christmas morning, rejoicing, celebrating that Christ has come. Christ is born, and the angelic message comes to us, fear not, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And those glad tidings, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And just for a few minutes this morning, let us dwell upon those glad tidings that there is indeed a gospel. That there is indeed a gospel that revolves around this one who is born for us, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. He is spoken of here with three titles. First of all, he is a Saviour. Secondly, he is the Christ. And thirdly, he is the Lord. There is born a Saviour, first of all. A Saviour born in the city of David. It's hard to appreciate exactly what King David was for the Jewish people. He was, in some ways, an amalgamation of our two great English legendary figures of King Arthur, the great king, and Robin Hood, the champion of the people. The man who had been an outlaw, who had become the great king, who had delivered his people, of course, famously, he delivered his people when he took down Goliath, the Philistine champion, that nobody else dared face. And he faced him, not in his own might, but in the strength and in the name of God himself. And David, of course, had been a shepherd at Bethlehem, just where these shepherds were. David was to them their great hero. And now they are told another great David's greater son has been born. Bethlehem indeed is favoured, even as God had promised Bethlehem would be favoured long before, in that great promise that he gave through the prophet Micah. That great word of God's mercy and grace in Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. And here was the one of whom it was said that this one would be peace. He is our peace, that he would make peace. Those were the days, of course, when Jesus was born of what was called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. And yet, the Roman peace was a mere delusion, a falsehood, compared to the peace that God gives. The Roman peace was at the point of a sword. But the peace that God gives, he gives by the death of his Son. Christ, of course, we're told his name is called Jesus, because he would deliver his people from their sins. And he delivers us from that greatest enemy, not the enemy outside of ourselves, but the enemy within ourselves, the enemy who drags us down, who enslaves us with inward chains. And Christ, by his death, by his suffering, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness, a Saviour indeed, a deliverer from a tyranny far, far worse than the Romans. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, a deliverer, one who delivers his people, saves his people from their sins. And secondly, he is called the Christ, the Messiah, that Jewish title, that Hebrew title that speaks of God's anointed, the one who is equipped, anointed by God for this great work. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, there were three types of people who we read of being anointed. We read, first of all, of the priests being anointed for their service. Secondly, we read of the king being anointed. And thirdly, the prophets, at least one of the prophets, is anointed. Anointed to a work that God has given them. These are not works that men take to themselves, but this is a work, a calling that God gave to be the king of his people. And people were expecting a king. They were looking for somebody like David, somebody who might deliver them from the Romans. As one poet has put it, they all were looking for a king to slay their foes and lift them high. That was what people were looking for. That's what people so often look for today. They look for the strong man to exalt them over and against everybody else. A them and us mentality. But what did God send? Did God send a king to slay their foes and lift them high? Well, the poet continues, "Thou camest a little baby thing that made a woman cry." He comes not as the conquering king, but as the little child of Bethlehem. He comes as the one who brings peace and grace in his face. He comes for us, anointed not to conquer, not to destroy, but to save. To save as the great high priest who makes a sacrifice, not as the high priest in the temple did, a sacrifice of animals that were brought in, but a sacrifice of himself offered once for all. A sacrifice of the one who came to suffer in our place. And he comes, thirdly, as the great prophet of our God. The one who declares, who shows God to us, because he is God with us. Because, thirdly, he is a saviour who is Christ the Lord. He is called the Lord. Now, when we see this word Lord in the New Testament, very often it's because in the Old Testament, when it's translated into Greek, the Jews wouldn't say that great name of God, Yahweh or Jehovah. And so instead they would substitute another word, the word for Lord. And so when it's translated, they put the word for Lord in. And so when we read Luke's Gospel, we see in these early chapters in particular, when the word Lord appears, it means God. So the most wonderful thing is that God is with us. The Saviour is Christ the Lord. He is not just somebody God sends. He's not just a David. He is God with us. God incarnate. Our God contracted to a span incomprehensibly made man. And he is for us and for our salvation. He is not here to condemn us, to judge us. He is coming again in glory, indeed, to judge the living and the dead. But his first coming, his incarnation, he came not to condemn. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world was already in condemnation, under the condemnation of sin. And Christ comes to deliver all who trust in him from that condemnation and from the power of sin. And at last, when he comes again from the very presence of sin, we see God with us here. God has not just sent a messenger. He has not even sent a supernatural messenger, but he has come himself in that great mystery of the incarnation. That in that child we see God coming into the world. The world was made through him, and he came into the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the marvel of Christmas, the great miracle of grace, that God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. And so as we celebrate this day, as we rejoice as we spend the day, as in whatever way we have set it apart, most of all, let us remember that it is about the Lord Jesus Christ, that the reason for all this rejoicing is that hope has come into the world, hope of eternal life, that joy and peace are here with us because Christ has come. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, of course, at this time, as always the case in this present fallen world, there is violence, and there is in many places a lack of peace. And the only answer to that is the gospel of Jesus Christ that reconciles people, that brings people to God, and therefore reconciles us one to another. And so may the peace of God in Jesus Christ and the joy of his holy incarnation be with us at this Christmas time and fill our hearts. Amen.